Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Folks, we get what we look for, and I tell you, if so much of religion in our day is just about entertainment and what people are used to, what people find, you know, uplifting in a kind of human sense. But we need what the Lord says, even when it crosses us, and especially when it crosses us, because we need to be delivered from what we are, not affirmed in all that's wrong with us. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm trying to trust the Lord to help me to get into what He wants to say. But I took note Wednesday night as different ones were sharing, and some of the songs that we sang, a lot of it had to do with being like Jesus and the desire to be like Jesus. And I confess, the further I go, the more I wonder if we understand what that's about, what that's really like, and how much we really are like Him. It's interesting. I ran across different short pieces of writing, I think two or three times this week, in which somebody who had served the Lord for years came to some point in their life. I think in one case it was somebody who had a health crisis. But in each case, people were brought to a realization, you know, I'm not very much like Him at all. I've been serving the Lord, but, you know, in built into it, baked into my service was pride, and I'm doing good, and, you know, there's so much of human nature that just is so natural, obviously, to us, being nature, that we express it without realizing what we're doing, and we mix together human nature with what God wants to do. And, you know, one of the things that we see in the New Testament is that there are a lot of things that we are supposed to do as Christians. And some of it involves service. Some of it involves, like Paul was talking about in one place, several places, really, the gifts of the Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, we can do everything right and it still not be what God is after. And I was thinking about Jesus, and here He was facing the cross, knowing what was coming, and how long, according to the book of John at least, you see the time He spent with His disciples talking to them and preparing them. Here He is facing what He's facing, and He's concerned about them. You think there might be just a little bit of a lesson in us, for us in that? But anyway, I'm not going to look up the scripture, but basically He says, a new command I give you. How many of you remember what that is? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. I'm paraphrasing probably. But then He says this, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It doesn't say by your creed, by your church form, your entertainment, your choir, all of these other things that may have their place, not the entertainment part, but there are many things, outward things, that have their place in God's kingdom and its expression on earth. But if it is not infused with God's love, then what is it? Because that's the most important thing. That's probably as good a title as any, the most important thing. So anyway, there's so many scriptures that you could use, and I just thought of a couple, and I'm going to kind of skate through them and trust the Lord to draw attention to what He wants to say out of them. The first one that, obviously you'd think of 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 4. Because John deals with this quite a bit, and of course John was there on that occasion when the Lord told them this. It was something that really stuck in his mind as very important, and he was the one who recorded it too for us in the gospel. But now he's writing to a group of believers and trying to give them encouragement and instruction to go forward. And in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Now, right in that, you get this sense that I'm so thankful for, that everything God tells us to do, He also supplies the means to do it. How ridiculous would it be for God to tell us to do something He knows we can't do? And of course, in the first place, this love that He's talking about is that agape love. That's the Greek word, and it's not like anything that you can find. In fact, you cannot find that in human nature. It simply is not there. And if you want an illustration of the impossibility of the Christian life for anyone who doesn't do it by God's divine strength, this is the case, because what we call love in this world absolutely has self absolutely baked into it. We love because we're getting something out of it. We call it love. But what we're doing is seeking a certain kind of a feeling, certain kind of self-satisfaction. There's a gratification, there's an affirmation of who we are, and I must be lovable. My God. That has nothing to do with what God is talking about when He says love one another. There is a divine quality. When God talks about love, it's not focused on what's in it for me. It's all about the power that I have to do something that will bless and strengthen and be a benefit to you. Now, you talk about something that is the polar opposite of human nature, that's it. You want to get to the essence of what God is about? That's what you're talking about right there. So when He's talking about love, loving one another, for love comes from God, right there, isn't He pointing to the source? It's not just we're imitating Him. Okay, He loves, so I guess we better do it too. If you try that, the best you will have will be an imitation. Man, I need God's love to flow into me if I'm going to have any power whatsoever to love anybody else. If that doesn't happen, what I call love will be nothing better than an imitation. And I don't, obviously an imitation isn't going to do anything, is it? In fact, what happens is a lot of people will say, I love, look at all I'm doing, and it's really all about self. It's what I'm getting out of it. And that's one thing that just struck me as I thought about this really on the way back from youth camp as we were coming back, this sense of love and what God was really looking for. What's the thing that's most important to Him? And I began to meditate on this, and then I ran into all these scriptures or all these writings where people are talking about how they come to a late point in their life, years of public ministry, being regarded as a success, as one who's mature, one who's learned some things, and then come face to face with, my God, so much of what I'm about is really not Him at all, it's me. You think maybe we got room to grow? Yeah. So when the Lord talks about this, it isn't just some little thing we say, oh yeah, I'm supposed to love my, we better, God wants us to understand what's involved in that. So anyway, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. That's the foundation, isn't it? Because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Now here, again, you have highlighted the truth that I cannot get this out of my nature. It's not a matter of God instructing me as to how I'm supposed to behave, and then, okay, I can find the resources and do that. There is only one way that this, what He's talking about here, can happen. We have got to be born again of God's Spirit. If we don't have His life on the inside, then we have nothing to draw upon. And all you will have is a religious imitation. But oh, what a reality that God has called us to, that we can actually, we who have been born into Adam's corrupted family, can, because of what Jesus did, we can come to Him by faith, we can surrender, we can lay our lives at His feet, and literally have a new life implanted in us, and that life, unlike Adam's, will live forever. And that's what the Christian life is about. People talk about getting saved as though that's it. Now I've got the ticket. I'll tell you, coming to God and being born into His Spirit, being forgiven, that's the beginning point. That's why Peter said, when you're, like newborn babies, what? Desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? that you may grow. Oh, God wants us to grow. God wants us to begin to learn how to express that life instead of Adam's life. And that's where we fall down. We mix it all in and we go along thinking we're doing great. And all of a sudden, God has a way of putting a bump in our road. And he does it because he loves us. And he does it because he wants us to see that what we've been doing hasn't really been what we thought it was. We can sing and be sincere about it. Lord, I want to be like you. Oh, that I might be like Jesus. But oh my, do we understand? There's a lot more to that than some, you know, out there idea, wonderful feeling that comes over us. Because God is wanting to literally express his life in humanity. That's the purpose of his bringing together a people. That's the purpose of his bringing us to a new birth, where his life is implanted in a human heart. And we now have the purpose and the privilege of expressing that life in a practical way. That's what this is all about. All right? And so when he talks about everyone who has been born, everyone who loves, we better understand that this is divine love he's talking about. This is something you cannot manufacture. But everyone who loves, who really has that and puts it into practice, that's a pretty good picture of someone who's been born again, born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is the heart of everything. So what's love about? Well, this is how God showed his love among us. It's love in action, not some sort of gooey feeling. He sent his one and only Son into the world, why? That we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is not just some feeling, some, you know, getting together and, oh, I love you, and it's just some feeling that we have and we share. It can express itself that way, but there's so much more. You know, it's, what does the scripture say? But when we were enemies of God, somebody help me remember the verse in Romans chapter 5. But when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the, God sent his Son to die when, not because we were anything, but because we were in need, and he saw his power to change that. And he was willing to go to a sacrificial length to do it. And his Son, there he was, telling his disciples to love and giving them all these encouraging instructions. And right after that, he goes into the garden and he prays with such intensity that his sweat comes out like drops of blood. And he faces the greatest challenge of his whole life, his whole earthly existence. And there he was, facing that, putting that aside and saying, I'm here to give something to my brothers and sisters. I want to prepare them. And then what I'm doing is actually going to open the door so they can have my life on the inside.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.